gonna get to you no matter what it takes. So be prepared to get familiar with me. You belong to somebody, this I know. But one monkey, baby, don't stop no show. As fine as you are, I've got to make you mine. And dig this, I'll be around. You're causing me to riot, there's no doubt about it. Ooh, ooh, I'm gonna get you, baby. I'm gonna get you, baby. I'm gonna get you, I'm to gonna get you, baby. I'm gonna break that, 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 that.
Oh, what a beautiful track. There's I'm Gonna Get You from the 1974 Eleanor Mills LP. This is Eleanor Mills and live on the phone from New York, Long Island. I've got the lady herself. Eleanor, welcome to England.
Thank you, Adi. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Great, great. So, brilliant album. It's been reissued, hasn't it? It's been reissued twice, in fact. And that's how good it was.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's been reissued many times. I understand Soul Brothers Records has re-released it, and it seems to be doing quite well.
Fantastic, I think so too. Do you know? Do you know the original copy on Astroscope changes hands for more than $400 a time?
Oh my God!
Honestly, it is it is such a sought after album. You've not got a stack of them under the bed, I suppose, have you?
I might have three or four.
No, honestly, you have.
That's amazing.
Yeah, great that album, and some of the songs on there as well were written by the Moments, weren't they? Which ones? Al Goodman and
Harry Ray.
Harry Ray, yes,
you know,
of course.
Billy Brown was. Whenever you saw the guys, you saw them three together.
Yeah,
it was such a family at All Platinum. You can hear their influence on that album through and through. The players on that album, to have Sammy Lowe, who worked with Sam Cooke,
That's
as close as I got to my favorite singer. The Moments, we've just remained friends and family over the years.
Great. I mean, well,
it's a great place to be.
It was a great staple, wasn't it? Because you're rubbing shoulders with people like George Kerr. He used to be a Motown staff writer, writing for Linda Jones, the Whatnots, Linda Jones, Chuck Jackson, Donnie Elbert, Gloria Barnes. I mean, even Malcolm X was putting his speeches out on All Platinum.
I speak to George often.
Oh, he's a lovely man. He's a lovely man. I chat to him quite regularly. Bless him.
He really is.
So, I mean, it must have been great. It must have been such a vibrant place.
It was an awesome place. I mean, the place to be creative. There wasn't anything that you couldn't possibly do. And to have toured with these guys for years, to be their opening act, we were a family, as I say. The early morning interviews at radio stations, the traveling constantly, we basically lived together for years.
Great.
I can't thank them enough for all the work that they put in on that project and for all the friendship. In fact, I miss them daily. You know that a few of them are no longer with us, mm-hmm. but the guys that are around, we are still in contact, and I love them like brothers.
Lovely, because it was a big teamwork in ethos as well, wasn't it? Because I was talking to Billy Brown on this show a few mm-hmm. months ago, mm-hmm. and he was saying that the people on the album, I mean, Leslie Valentine used to do backing vocals, and she was actually the secretary. So they'd say, right,
of course.
Come through, I need a singer. And, I mean, what a team effort. Fantastic. No airs and graces, just everybody enjoying the profession and their art.
Everybody. There was so much talent in that little building. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the tracks on the album is, three of the tracks were written by Harry Ray and Al Goodman at the moment, but yes. my favourite's got to be He Said Goodbye. What a beautiful tune.
That is awesome. It's awesome. I know you can hear their influence on that tune.
Definitely.
One of the musicians, Walter Lee Morris, was also instrumental in writing some of those tracks, and he also plays the guitar. He was the Pops and Rimshots.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rimshots. I talked to mm-hmm. Jonathan Williams quite regular on from the Rimshots. He was a bassist. Yeah. Yeah, he's still making new music,
absolutely.
You know? Still making new music.
Absolutely.
Got a new CD out, bless him.
So, my brother.
Tell me about Eleanor Mills. How did you get into music? Was it church? Was it high school?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the most available venue is church.
Yeah.
And that's where I started. And my choir would travel throughout the boroughs and the tri-state area. And we had such a great time on the Sunday morning radio shows that the choir was very active. So that's where I got my start. And from there, I went to the Dixie Cups.
Cups? Go into the chapel.
Yes, Chapel of Love.
Go into
the chapel. And we're... Yes, that was an awesome time.
Because
so much to learn from there.
Yeah, because the Dixie Cups, I thought they were a far cry from New York. Weren't they New Orleans?
They were in New Orleans. And Chapel of Love and Ico were their hits.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned so much from the Dixie Cups in that, you know, in those days we didn't have the internet and the cell phones and such. But being a Dixie Cup, if we had gigs in Florida, just say, when we flew to Florida, we would work our way back to New York. And in that trip, we would make all the radio stations along the road to visit with the jocks and promote our... current projects and to promote our current gigs, and it was such a learning experience to do that.
Well, I mean, that's it.
With interaction.
That, in the years before the internet, it must have been so much hard work to get the level of promotion and get the exposure to all the to the marketplace. I mean, nowadays anybody can find anything on the internet and just a bit of marketing, you're there. But in those days, you were carrying a suitcase and you were going to radio stations, and wow.
Absolutely. You had your bios, your 8x10s, your tracks, whatever it took,
mm-hmm.
separate and apart from your luggage, because as you traveled, you had to travel with this portable office, basically.
So how did you come to be a member of the Dixie Cups then, with them being based so far away?
They lived in New York.
Oh.
And one Sunday, I was visiting a friend and who happened to be a dancer, and he said, hey, I know this group that needs a singer, are you willing to audition? I went by, and the rest is history. We hit it off. We had such a great time.
Fantastic.
Great time with those girls. We were made, we did a lot of military bases in those days.
Yeah.
You know that it was the era of Vietnam.
Yes, yeah.
And the soldiers were coming and going. We were doing hospitals. We were in the field with them. The Dixie Cups were honorary colonels while you were on the bass. It was amazing.
Excellent. Great. So anyway, I just want to play another album from your LP. This is Eleanor Mills, and this okay. is the track we spoke about, He Said Goodbye.
I'm tired of waiting for you every night while you're running around with every man inside. I faced the hardest time of my life when he said goodbye. Tears came from my eyes like rain falling from the sky. I begged, be so true, 'cause there's nothing I wouldn't do. He said goodbye, and that's no lie. It's hard to forget you, but I'm gonna try. He said, yeah, while you're running around with every man. You every night.
Eleanor, beautiful track, so well sung.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Harry and Al were so close to me. I mean, just to travel with them and for them to take me under their wing and teach me the industry and introduce me to the jocks and, I don't know, just to open up for them. It was just a lesson that I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
Wow, there's no better apprenticeship, is there, than being under the masters? Brilliant, brilliant.
None at all. So, and great guys, great guys.
Yeah. So how did your time at All Platinum come to an end? When did you leave? And what did you do?
At All Platinum, it got to a point where I wanted to be more creative. I wanted to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you can overstay your welcome. And I had a friend at All Platinum by the name of Craig Derry.
Right.
And he is just the best person ever. He played trumpet at All Platinum, and he was working with the Starship Orchestra at that time, and he says, Norman is holding auditions, why don't you come with me and take a shot at it?
And this is Norman Connors, isn't it?
Norman Connors.
Wow. And
he
so
said it, wow.
Yeah.
That was an awesome, awesome move.
Great stuff. Because
I'm very thankful to Craig for that recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, he only got you through the door. You pulled it off yourself. It's all credit to you. So, I mean, you recorded and wrote on two of Norman Connors' LPs, didn't you? This Is Your Life and Romantic Journey.
Absolutely. And, you know, those tracks have been added to other releases, you know, the best of, the greatest hits and so forth. So yeah, it was an awesome, awesome time. The players, it was basically jazz royalty.
Yeah, lovely.
Whether I was following in the footsteps of, whether I was working alongside of, these people were royalty.
Great.
So it was just a giant step.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
No other way to describe it.
Absolutely, it's just taking it to the next level, isn't it? To be writing songs to be included on Norman Connors' album, I mean, the creator has a master plan. Lovely record. Lovely record. We'll listen to that next.
You don't
know. So there we go. Eleanor Mills, writer of that great Norman Connors track, The Creator Has a Master Plan. How did that come about?
I was singing those lyrics sort of off the top of my head at the gigs.
Right.
And he happened to like it, and he liked it enough to record it and gave me credit for the writing. And I'm eternally grateful, Norman. Eternally grateful, because that opened up the writing door for me. It just, of course, I have so much to say, and I'm constantly writing. My mom used to say, don't say anything to her or it will wind up in a song. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, I mean, talking about the writing, you were in a room, or you were working alongside Prince Philip Mitchell. And what a prolific songwriter.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is the most talented man ever.
I mean, he's...
You know, in fact, one of my favorite songs is For You Everything.
Mm.
That production, that arrangement, it's killer. I love it.
Yeah.
And Philip... Destination Moon.
Mm-hmm.
This man is one of the best writers ever.
Absolutely.
And performance, by the way.
For me, he's up there with Sam Dee's. Another man who wrote more for other people than he did for himself. I mean, why do you think that is? Was he a shy person?
I don't think he was shy. I just think he had so much talent.
Yeah.
That people realized it and they wanted to be a part of it and they wanted his material. But Philip is amazing. We still communicate.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
Still
lovely. Lovely. So, I mean, it must have been such a rush working with Norman Connors and Philip Mitchell. And one of the tracks that I want to play from Norman Connors' LP is Wouldn't You Like to See? What a great record.
Come and see
Oh, I love it. Wouldn't you like to see just shows my background, shows my roots?
Yeah.
My father was a tenor in a male gospel group.
Oh, really?
And this is basically what he would sound like. This is church. And I love the message of that song. The arrangement is awesome. I think it's timeless.
Yeah. Great, great music. So we'll listen to your cover, which melts me. You Are Everything. Marvin and Diana's You Are Everything.
And
forget when each face that I see brings back memories.
Tell you what, I'm such a sucker for a female vocal, and it's lights down, volume up, and wail along to it. I could break glass with my singing, but that was beautiful.
That's such a great song.
Yeah,
I love that song. Oh.
The worst one.
collector. And if you throw it away, you're not thinking of the love we had yesterday. Oh, oh,
oh. I can't say enough about working with Norman. The music is just ageless. You know, good music will never die, and Norman knew how to put it together like nobody could.
Absolutely.
That's evident. It speaks for itself.
Yeah, great. And also, you came to the attention of Roberta Flack, didn't you, around the same time?
Absolutely. When the gig was over with Norman, my good friend, Eric Mercury.
Right, yes, yeah.
You know Eric Mercury.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to say anymore.
Take Me Girl, I'm Ready, wasn't it? Was he on Epic?
Are you kidding me? He was on Stag. He was amazing. Eric is in Canada now.
Oh, right.
We should be working together within the next month.
Brilliant.
But Eric recommended me to Roberta, and I show up for the rehearsal, and who's there? Jocelyn Brown, Linda White. Oh, Gwen Guthrie, I was in heaven.
Crikey.
I was in heaven. That gig was amazing. And of course, working for Roberta is a dream come true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was really the height of her career, definitely for UK markets. Anyway, Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway on that LP. And you featured heavily in the backing vocals as well there, didn't you?
Absolutely. It was like the highlight of my career. I was just coming off of a label with Tommy La Puma at the time too. Mm-hmm. So it was just a great time for me to become. I love the Roberta gigs. It was amazing.
Great stuff. So what after there then? What did you do after that? Did you have a bit of a break, or were you still writing? Or you sort of went into dance music after that, didn't you? As the fashion
absolutely.
Changed, you managed to stay at the head of it.
I went to Next Plateau and Plateau with Eddie O'Loughlin.
Right.
Eddie O'Loughlin has a special place in my heart because he was one of the first music people who was in direct contact with my mom and dad.
All right.
Once he got past my mom, it was great sailing. But Eddie was amazing. During that time, Studio 54, Limelight, every club was happening, and we were working. We were working to the point where I was losing track of time. We were doing "Your Love Is Good to the Last Drop," mm-hmm. David Cole. I also have original David Cole material. I was thinking about, you know, getting started.
Right.
Also,
what you've got unreleased material?
Unreleased material.
All right, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. Might be a tough yet there. Good stuff.
But All Platinum was the beginning. Get Wet with John Robey. John Robey is just a very special producer. His technique, his ability to let me look over his shoulder and learn a few things, that's probably why I just got hungry after Get Wet. I had to write more. I had to do more. I had to get involved in so many things there. Since Get Wet, working with John Robey, I've done about 3 or 4 other tunes with him.
All right.
Absolutely. We redid AEIOU, and of course he's producing a play, and he tells me that a couple of the tunes that we recorded will be included in the play.
All right. Whilst you're talking about plays, a little bird tells me that you're an actress.
Oh, yeah, I've been bitten by the bug, totally. While I was studying dance at Phil Harris Studios back in the day, I was in a production of Good News, which led to George Faison, Apollo Just Like Magic, which led to Clarice Taylor's Moms Mabley Obie Award-winning 1987 play.
It
was amazing. But, you know, I've done certain jingles. I had a...
You did TV commercials as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. 7 Up, Moving on Jeans, Highest Root Beer, Kodak.
quite a few.
Blimey, busy girl. Anyway, tell me about life in New York in the late 70s. Tell me about Studio 54 and what Paradise Garage. Did you ever go to that one? Because the word around the campfire is that that was the place to be.
Well, I was on West End Records, you know, Mel Cherry, mm-hmm. Ed Cushions, and Paradise Garage was, I'd say, we would work it every other month.
Wow.
It was the most amazing time for me. The crowd, the DJs, the music, the atmosphere. There's something that I don't think we'll ever be able to recreate.
No, because it's my understanding that New York City at that time was the epicenter of well, it was leading the world in music, wasn't it? Disco had burst onto the
Absolutely.
Scene, and everybody was looking at the next sound. I mean, you got the advent of, from disco, you got hip-hop, and then house music, uh-huh. and uh-huh. it was all in New York.
Underground dance, oh, it was amazing. That's one reason I'm sort of cross-genre, because my love of music doesn't just stop with dance or jazz or
oh, absolutely
whatever.
Not.
For an instance, Louis Ballo, after we did Be Here, he recommended Jackie B to me.
Right.
He says, I have a good friend, you know, he's a great writer and he's a great producer, and he introduced me to Jackie B. Next thing I knew, we are having a great time working on You'll Never Know. It was the most amazing time. There was always something to get involved in. There was always that next event, that next affair, that next production.
Yeah.
I sort of miss it. I really miss it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you say you miss it, but you're still pushing the boundaries now and still recording new material. I mean, you're taking us through the 90s there with Be Here and You'll Never Know. and it's still an ongoing journey, isn't it? It's still evolving.
Well, I think this is my calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what I do, I'm always involved in music. I constantly write. I constantly sing, you know, and like I said, after working with producers like John Robey and Eddie O'Loughlin and Norman Connors, Eddie Easy Coleman, I got interested in producing myself. So yeah. I started to write. I started to make those tracks. I started to feel my way around the studio as more than just a vocalist or more than just a lyricist. I was interested in the sound of it, the mixing of it. Oh,
lovely.
Mixing is magic to me now. It's magic. I am so interested. So I'm hoping maybe I can, you know, further my studies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking right now to...
With you being so versatile in the genres and that you've covered and that you continue to do, I mean, you must listen to lots of new music and lots of styles of music yourself to get your inspiration.
I listen to everything and everybody, every genre, from Bollywood to jazz.
All right.
Everything you could possibly take in. You know, having worked with Rampus out of a Norwegian producer,
yeah.
Working with Hiroshi Watanabe out of Japan.
Wow.
I'm now being approached for dance hall music, and producers out of Africa are calling me. So I don't think I'm just going to be pigeonholed into one genre.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
Love it. I want to be involved in it all.
Great stuff. Because I do know, just to show the diversity, you brought out a beautiful acid jazz track for a band called De Influence. You wrote that? Good Lover?
No, I didn't write that. They used a part of my track.
Oh, they sampled it, did they?
Yeah, they sampled it and they used my lyrics and gave me credit. I'm really finding that a lot of my material is being sampled and remixed online, and, you know, it's very flattering.
Yeah.
It just fuels the fire because I want to do more of it. It's good to know that people like what you do.
Yeah, do you find that that's becoming more prevalent over recent years? Because disco's really gaining popularity again. It must be a nostalgic thing across in England and Europe. So we're getting more and more of a shift towards... It's new stuff, but it's based on the old stuff. You see lots more sampling. I mean, David Morales,
uh-huh.
He's bringing things
uh-huh.
out. Yeah. So have you found...
Oh, I love David's work. I love David's work. Well, what happens is everything old is new again, just
yeah.
like the play, just like the song. And I feel that each generation that comes into their own in music, once you start looking at the history of it, you're bound to discover the pioneers, the people that made it all possible, the people that started the sound, the reason that you are so interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at Madonna in the early days, you can tell by her work what she researched,
yeah.
who she, you know, the videos, you can see the movies that she researched, the sound, the production. So you have to know the history of it because that's the only way to go forward.
That's right. It always makes me chuckle. Before I gave up industry to do broadcasting, I used to work in an office, and the younger lads would be playing me some of the new tracks, and I'd sit there and smile and say, right, now let me play you the original. And they were absolutely blown away that this music wasn't new.
That's true.
Excellent.
You know, the industry being built, you know, on youth and visual. It feels good at this time in my life to be able to school the younger generation on what happened before.
Yeah.
You know, it feels good to... Sometimes I talk to people and you can see in their eyes that you've given them some information that they didn't realize before.
Yeah.
It feels good. It really feels good. And, you know, to see them coming through and sampling some of the old school music, and you can hear some of the changes, some of the lyrics, some of the feel in some of the tracks. They know what's good, and
yeah.
they go there.
Yeah, and on a personal level, it must be nice to sort of feel as though you're passing the baton to the younger generation coming through, in as much as mentoring. You know, when somebody comes to you, when a youngster comes to you with a genuine passion, and just to be able to share the love that you've got for the music that you've got and the knowledge that you've got, in the same way as Ray Goodman and Brown did for you.
Absolutely. Al and Harry used to say things to me like, you know, this is the ultimate result, and this is how you get there. You can take this shortcut, or you can do it the right way.
Yeah.
And I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that lesson. He says, I could show you the shortcut, but it's not going to help you.
No, absolutely not.
You have to go through it. I constantly deal with, well, at this point in my life, almost everybody is the younger generation.
You and me both. I don't know where my life's gone. It just happened when I blinked, I think.
I think my life is just beginning.
Yeah.
I really feel that way. You know, being... life happens outside of music. You know, music is a big, big part of my life, but there are other things that happen. I've been in politics all my life.
Really?
Working
for government?
New York State legislator, senators, mayors, congressmen, lawyers, judges. So I love law.
Right.
And most of my audience, as a result of being there, most of my gigs are corporate gigs.
All right.
So I do gigs for diplomats, diplomatic parties for the UN. I work the Harvard Club, the Yale Club, you know, basically attorneys and such. And you don't see a lot of selfies from my gigs because that's not the nature of that gig.
No, and is it strange working with people who know your musical history? Because the reason I say that, let me just say, I was talking to Howard Johnson. He was saying that after he finished music, he took a step back from music, and he went to work in the medical profession, and it was fine until somebody recognised him, and then everybody treated him differently. The people that he'd been close with, all of a sudden, they weren't sort of standoff, but they were sort of reverent, and he couldn't deal with that. He had to leave. And so, do you get the same sort of experience? I mean, how do you deal with it personally?
Well, most people that I work with are professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a Fortune 500 company, so we deal with things a little differently.
Right.
You know, we have clients, high-profile clients in the music industry. I won't mention those names, but, you know, it's the natural community for me. The lifestyle that I lead on my law side is quite different than my music side.
So how do you find the time to fit it all in? If you're holding down a full-time job and you're such a prolific songwriter, recorder, actress, how do you manage it? You must have more hours in the day than me.
You gotta juggle it. You have to juggle it. I just love them both.
But the thing is, if you love what you're doing, it's not really work, is it? It's
it's not.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not. There's great people. I'm surrounded by great people in both industries. You know, I've been with the people in my legal side for, oh my gosh, for years. I've seen their kids and their kids' kids, so we're family basically, just like on my music side.
Brilliant.
But music being my passion, being my life, it permeates everything I do.
Mm.
I mean, how many songs do I write about my experiences? And in order to have songs that people can relate to, you need real life experience.
Yeah, they are a window to the soul, aren't they? Because you're sort of pouring your heart out onto a paper, and then sharing it with complete strangers. So
and you got to be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You have to be comfortable. You know.
Great. And so you are still writing and recording. Have you got any new material on the horizon? Do you think we can look forward to some new releases?
I'm recently working with Barry and Davos of Three Collective.
Right.
And these are amazing, amazing tracks. We have a tune called Go Back, which speaks to today's events.
Okay.
I won't go into detail, but it's an amazing song. It's probably one of the best things that I've ever written, and the track is something that I've never experienced before, and I can't wait to do it again. I can't wait to do it again. These guys are fantastic. Hopefully that'll be released the beginning of August.
Fantastic. Well, keep me abreast of that, and I shall give it a push.
You better believe it.
Yeah. Good. Lovely. So, I'm being cheeky now. Have you got any unreleased stuff from back in the 70s? Because I tell you, there is a there's a big market for, there's a hunger, especially in the UK and Europe, for unreleased 70s tracks. There are so many small labels springing up just to put this material out. And if you sat on any cans, then, now's the time to take them to the bank, because it's really, really popular.
You know, this is a joke, but only to me. I have 3-inch, 1/4-inch, 1/2-inch, dat. You know, every medium that you could probably think of recording, I have got tracks on there. I have got tracks on cassette of Pops. We did, when I was with the Rimshots and Pops, we would go in the studio and record, but then I would bounce it over to cassette or 1/4-inch.
Yeah.
So now I've got to go back through those and pull them out. And yes, I've got unrecorded tracks, but the condition they're in and what they're recorded on is probably comical now.
Wouldn't matter. You could get them remastered. Honestly.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Lovely. Lovely. Eleanor, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you this evening. Thank you very much for joining me. I'd like to play out with your brand new release. Tell me about Eddie Easy Coleman.
Eddie Easy Coleman is with Deep Nota Records in New York. I have recorded 5 tracks with Deep Nota, and I am so grateful to be in contact with them. The song that you're going to play is Come With the Blessing.
Yep.
I was reading the Bible, and like Romans 15:29 said, I will come with the full measure of blessing from the Lord. And I kept saying that. I will come with the full measure of blessings. And it just hit me. I will come with the blessing. And that's where that came from. Anything that I've ever done has been because a friend recommended me, or a friend thought enough of me to help me in my career. And I just want to thank each and every one of them, all the musicians, all the producers, all the audience members who have helped me along the way and who I contact and I speak with every day. I can't thank you guys enough for keeping me in the mix.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a firm believer that nice things happen to nice people. So all the help you've got is because you deserve it and you've earned it. So,
thank you, AD.
It's
this is a 360 right here. It's a 360. I started at the church, and my latest recording, coming from Romans 15:29, Come With a Blessing, it's definitely a 360. And I really feel that I'm in the right direction.
Great.
I really feel I am in the right direction.
Right, I'm going to play out with that now then. This is Eddie Easy Coleman with the vocals of Eleanor Mills and Come With a Blessing. Eleanor, thank you so much again. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Eddie. It's been amazing. Love you.
bless you and may